today's shiur is Masechta Bava Basra, Daf Kuf Yud Gimel. We will begin on Daf Kuf Yud Beis Amud Beis at the third line. Tanya B'Sibas HaBen. As we had discussed in our previous shiur, the Torah, the Gemara has been trying to prove how we know that a husband yarshins a wife. And now previous shiur, the Gemara had quoted a brisa, a lengthy brisa, Rabbi Yishmael's brisa, and in that brisa, the Gemara, Rabbi Yishmael quotes no less than five psukim, three psukim in Chumash, and two psukim in Navi, to prove that a husband is a yorish of the wife. The Gemara explained that why did Rabbi Shmuel have to quote all of these psukim? So Gemara explained because Rabbi Shmuel's opinion, because all the psukim in the Chumash, we could say, actually refer to a situation of, to teach us that a son is the yorish of his mother, and we would have no proof that a husband is a yorish until the Gemara proved it according to Rabbi Shmuel, because we had psukim in Navi to back up, to continue along the same line. When we learned the Gemara, we pointed out that there was an inherent difficulty in understanding the Gemara, because what the Gemara had said was that two psukim in the Chumash were coming to teach us the same lav, and that was the lav to teach us the din that a son is the yorish of a mother. In other words, to explain it a little better, the Torah taught us, teaches us, that those that entered Eretz Yisrael, if there was a situation like the situation of the Bnei Tzolofchot, who were the yorshim of their, who were the yorshim of their father, because there were no sons, the Torah taught them that they should not marry to people outside of their shevet. And the Torah says, one assay and two lavim. And Rabbi Shmuel, the Gemara in explaining Rabbi Shmuel's opinion, said that all of those psukim perhaps teach us that the reason these women should not marry outside of their shevet is because we're concerned that when that their Yerusha will go to their sons, and it will end up that we have a situation that the Nachla will leave one Shevet to go to another Shevet. As we explained, the inherent difficulty with that Pshat is that when the Torah has two Lavim, typically we say that each Lav is coming to teach us a new Halacha versus saying that the two Lavim are coming to teach us the same rule. And we actually raised that question in our previous year, and we quoted the Rishonim's attempt to answer that question. However, as the Rashbam says in understanding the Gemara we're about to begin to learn, certainly the brises that we're now going to quote don't agree with that approach, and prefer much more to say that each pasuk is speaking about a different situation. And we're going to learn the Gemara with the Pshat of the Rashbam. It says the Gemara, Tanya, we learned in the Braisa, B'sibas HaBen, Tanya B'sibas HaBal. There's a Braisa that explains how the Psukim refer to the din that the son is the Yorish, and the Braisa that speak to the din that the daughter is the Yorish, is that the husband is the Yorish. The Achronim point out that there are Nafkaminas LaHalacha, if the son is the one that will yarshin his mother, or if the husband is the husband that yarshins the wife. Because as the Mefarshim point out, if we think about it, why do we need to have two rules about the husband and the son? The bottom line issue is that a husband, that a woman shouldn't marry outside of a shevet, because when she marries outside of a shevet, she creates a situation, as I explained earlier, that the Yerush, that the Nachl goes to another shevet. So there are a number of nafkaminas that I saw in the Achrayim. One nafkamina will be regarding a woman who is unable to have children. So if the concern is about the husband. So the fact that she can't have children wouldn't change anything. If, on the other hand, the concern is about the son, she can't have children. Another situation would be if, when the husband married her, he explicitly said that I'm not going to take your Yerusha. If the concern is about the husband getting the Yerusha, so we don't have any reason to be concerned with the situation. If the concern is the son, then we have every reason to be concerned. Another nafkamina that I saw is, let's say a woman had relations with a man, but not in marriage. So if the issue is Sibas Habal, the husband, he is not her husband, and there's no reason to be concerned. If, however, the concern is the son, a son can be born even if they have relations not in marriage. Another nafkamina is, at what point do we begin to get concerned? If the concern is Sibas Habal, so that happens at the moment of marriage. If the concern, on the other hand, is Sibas Haben, that only happens when they have Bia. So the Rashbam explains that the Gemara is teaching us that there are two psukim in the Torah, and we're going to read the wording of these two psukim. We're going to read them not only, but we're also going to read them in the order that they're mentioned in the Torah. One pasuk says, "Vloisis of Nachla of Nei Yisrael Mimata Amata Kish Benachla Amata Voice of Yidbeku Bnei Yisrael." That's pasuk Zion, and then pasuk Tes says, "Vloisis of Nachla Mimata Amata Acher Kish Benachla So Yidbeku Matas Bnei Yisrael." So Tanya, the first price explains as follows. Tanya Basibas Aben. The first price learns as follows. The pasuk says, "Vloy sisoiv nachla b'nei yisomim mata amata," which is the first pasuk. That pasuk is Basibas Aben akos b'daber. Teaches us the halacha that the son yarshins. Even though, as the Rishonim ask, we already learned earlier in our perek that a son is a Yairish. We know that a son is a Yairish because we learned it with a Kal v'chomer from a daughter. So why do we have to have a pasuk to teach us that the son is a Yairish? So I saw two answers in the Rishonim. One answer is that we have a rule that the Gemara says many places, Milsia the Asya v'Kal v'chomer, that even though it's something that we could have learned from a Kal v'chomer, Torah, the cost of Lakra, the Torah still mentions it explicitly. Another teretz goes very much back to the beginning of what we discussed at the beginning of today's shiur. And that is that at the beginning of today's shiur we said that the Rashbam says that we don't want to have a situation where the Torah repeats the same psukim to teach us the same din. And therefore, even though we theoretically could have learned the halacha from a daughter, we would prefer to say it as a pasuk that's speaking about Sibas HaBen versus saying that there are two psukim that are speaking about Sibas HaBal, two psukim that are saying the exact same thing. So the first pasuk is speaking about Sibas HaBen. Says the Gemara, "Ata'im b'Sibas HaBen, is it indeed teaching us that the son is the Yairish? Perhaps, ayin el b'Sibas HaBal, maybe the pasuk is teaching us that the husband is the Yairish. K'shu'im, when the second pasuk says, v'loisis of nachal imatal mata acher, hare b'Sibas HaBal omer, that pasuk already teaches us that din. Hamani mekayim, what will I do with the pasuk, the first pasuk, of v'loisis of nachal v'naisom imata almata? It must be that pasuk is speaking about b'Sibas HaBen hakos of medaber." And then there's another brisa, Tanyidach, but that is another brisa. The brisa says, "V'loisis of nachla mimata lamata acher." Again, this is the second pasuk. "B'sibas habal akos medaber." Again, says this brisa that this pasuk is teaching us that the husband is the yorish of the wife. "Ata oimer b'sibas habal." Is that the way to explain that pasuk? Or ein el b'sibas haben? Perhaps the way to understand that pasuk is that's referring that the son is the Yairish. K'shu oimer v'loisis of nachla v'nei yisrael mimata almata. When the Torah teaches us in the first pasuk these words, harei sibas haben omer. So that pasuk already teaches us that the son is the Yairish. Hamani mekayim v'loisis of nachla mimata almata acher. What will I use the second pasuk for? To teach us, b'sibas habal akos medaber. So as the Rashbam explains the Gemara, both psukim are teaching, both brises actually have the same result. That the first pasuk teaches us that the son is the Yairish, and that the second pasuk teaches us that the husband is the Yairish. The only nafkamina between the two brises, according to the Rashbam, is how do we get to that result. According to the first brisa, the second pasuk, and the Gemara is going to explain this in a moment, teaches us the halacha that the son is the is obvious, teaching us the halacha that the husband is the Yairish. So if the second pasuk is teaching us that the husband is the Yairish, by deduction we say that the first pasuk is teaching us that the son is the Yairish. The second brisa takes a different approach. The second brisa says we have two psukim. Which is the more natural to say, which is the more natural to say is the Yairish, the son? Son is a blood relative. So we have two psukim, and we have to attribute one pasuk to one and one pasuk to the other. I'm going to say that the first pasuk is speaking about the son, which is the more likely situation, more likely Yairish, and then I'm left with the second pasuk, and the second pasuk is talking about the husband. But we get to the exact same results according to the Rashbam's understanding with both brises. There are Rishonim. I'm going to quote the opinion of the Rishonim, but we're not going to learn the Gemara according to them, who have a different understanding of the Gemara. Tosfos' approach is that both brises, the first brisa indeed holds that the first pasuk is speaking about the son, and the second pasuk is speaking about the husband. But that but according to Tosfos' understanding of the Gemara, the second brisa will hold that both psukim are referring that the husband is the Yairish. The Ramban has a different approach. The Ramban's approach is that the first brisa holds that both psukim are talking about that the son is the Yairish, and the second brisa holds that both psukim teach us that the husband is the Yairish. However, again, we're going to learn with the pshat of the Rashbam. And now the Gemara, following that pshat, is now asking an obvious question. The Kula Alma Mias, according to the first brisa, the second pasuk, which speaks about Mimata Lamata Acher, that pasuk, according to the understanding of the first brisa, is Besibas Habal Kos Medaber. We understand it to be speaking about that the husband is the Yairish. Ask the Gemara, my mashma, what is in the wording of that pasuk that indicates that the husband is the Yairish? Simon and the Achronim discuss the word simon that's mentioned here. How is this a simon to understand the Gemara's we're now going to learn? In fact, there are some Achroinim that remove the word simon from the Gemara because of that question. Others say that the Gersha should be Simon, which means this was said by the Amora Rav Simon. There are other explanations that have the word correlating to the different psukim or different issues that we're going to learn in the Gemara as we get deeper into this sugya. Perceiving Omer, Omer Rabba Barav Shela, Omer Kro Ish. That since the second pasuk uses the word Ish, that's why, and we know Ish means a husband, so that's why the time of the first brisa assumed that this pasuk is referring to teach us the halacha that the husband is a Yairish. Because the words of the second pasuk are "V'loisis of Nachum imata l'mata acher kish b'nachlos yidbeku matos b'nei Yisrael." Ask the Gemara if it's the word "ish" that's pushing you to say that this pasuk is speaking about a husband. Tavayu ish k'sebuhu. The word "ish" also appears in the first pasuk, because the first pasuk says "V'loisis of Nachlov nei Yisrael imata l'mata ki ish b'nachlos mata avoyisov." So how could that prove that the second pasuk more than the first pasuk? So the Rishonim asked the obvious question. The obvious question is, didn't this Tana read the pasukim and know that the first pasuk also uses the word ish? How does the Gemara understand? How do we understand this Gemara? The Rashbam, many Rishonim are very bothered with this question. The Rashbam explains the Gemara as follows. The Rashbam says that the first Tana assumed that the second pasuk is certainly talking about the husband. The first pasuk also has the word ish. We have to say that that word ish is coming to teach us another limud. Says the Gemara, what is the limud that you want to say that the first pasuk word ish teaches us that says that that will tell you that the second pasuk is talking about the husband? That's the Rashbam's explanation. Tosfos says a very bechidish. We cannot say Tosfos is teretz if it wasn't Tosfos. Tosfos says it could well be that a meroyim were not well versed in tanoim. A meroyim were not well versed in the words of the psukim, and that's why the Tana made the error in believing that the first part, that only the second pasuk has the word ish, not the first pasuk, which of course many mefarshim find this very difficult to understand. How can we say that Tanoim and Meroim did not know the words of the Torah, even though there are precedents and there are psukim in the Torah that maybe do seem to indicate that they did not necessarily know those words? But the question is, what? It's very hard to understand how we could say that they didn't know the words of the Chumash. The Stechemet, because of this question, has a very interesting approach. He says, certainly they were normally well versed in the when it says in the psukim, but obviously they cannot always remember all the words of all the psukim. So when they were learning, they would need to take out a chumash. And what happened here is they didn't actually take out the chumash to see what it says in the pasuk. So we're back to where we started. Why does the Tana of the first Braisa assume that the second pasuk is speaking about the husband? Ela Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak Amar Kro Yidbeku, because the second pasuk uses the words Yidbeku, and Yidbeku is a husband is a word that's used regarding husband and wife. The Dovak Beishtoi. Ask the Gemara Tavayu Yidbeku Ksibuhu. Both pasukim use the word Yidbeku. So we're back to where we started. Why would they say the second pasuk more than the first pasuk? Ask the Mefarshim, what's happening here in the Gemara? The Gemara said that the first Tana assumed that the second pasuk is speaking about husband, because the Torah used the word ish in the second pasuk, and we asked, but it uses the ish in the first pasuk. So does the Gemara go back with the same shak of the Tarya? It's because it says Yidbeku, and Yidbeku is only in the second pasuk. And so in the first pasuk, by now he should be reading the psukim and seeing what it says. So Mefarshim explained that what happened, the shakl v'tarya and the yeshiva was somewhat different. Both questions were asked at the same time, and both answers were given at the same time. And we'll follow the Rashbam's shakl v'tarya. The Gemara asked to the Tana of the first Braisa, what makes you say that it's the second pasuk that's teaching us the halacha that the husband is the Yairish? And he answered, because the second pasuk has two words that point in that direction, the word ish and the word yidbeku. So he asked that the first pasuk also has both of those words, ish and yidbeku. And again, with the Rashbam's understanding, this Tana assumed that those words should be used for something else, to which we don't know what it should be used, and that's why the Gemara is back to where we started. Why does the Tana of the first Braisa quoted assume that the second Pasuk is teaching us the halacha of a husband yarshining more than the first Pasuk? Ela Marava, says Rava, the reason that he assumes that this Pasuk is speaking about a husband, because the Torah used the words Yidbeku Matos. So since the Pasuk, the wording of the Pasuk, now we have to be careful to exactly read the wording of the Pasuk, as the Stechem tells us to do, that the wording of the Pasuk is V'leisisa nachla V'nei somi mata mata, The Torah speaks about mata mata. When does something happen? Mata mata. When do we have a situation of mimata or mata yidbeku? When do we have a situation of yidbeku matois? When they get intermarried. Rav Ashi Amar, Amar Krah, the pasuk says mimata mata acher. The pasuk uses the words acher in that second pasuk, and the word acher cannot be referring to a son. Because then a son lav achir is not considered someone strange. As I said earlier in the shir, the son is considered the closest relative to his mother. So if this pasuk uses the word achir, it must be referring to a husband. Says the Gemara, after we have now proven that the husband is the yorish of his wife, Amar Bavu, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Amar Rabbi Yanai, Amar Rebbe. That even though the husband is the yorish of the wife, that is only whatever assets the wife had at the moment of death. But, and to explain what the Gemara means, let's say we would have a situation where the wife died, and this wife was, to make a simple illustration, the only daughter of her father. So she died, and she died while her husband was alive, while her father was alive. So now after her father dies, she is his yorish, as we're going to learn later in our perek, even though she's no longer alive. But here in the halacha, that a husband yarshens a wife does not apply. And as the Rishonim explained the Gemara, we would think that it should apply. Because if we've just finished learning that the husband is the first yorish of his wife, if the husband is the first yorish of his wife, to the degree that he comes even before a son, if, as we're going to learn later in our perek, a son not only yarshins his mother, if this mother dies before the son, but even if the son, Rachman al-Tzlan, dies before the mother, the son or his descendants remain the mother's yorshim. So I would say that the father who comes before the son, the husband who comes before the son, should certainly also have that same rule. That's why we need the Braisa to teach us, the Pasuk to teach us, that we don't. In fact, the Rishonim say that maybe we should say that after our Gemara is now going to prove that a husband does not yarshin b'roi k'b'mukhsik, certainly a son whose Yerusha is ostensibly weaker than the husband's, because he's only a Yerush after the husband, should also not yarshin b'roi k'b'mukhsik. How do we know that he does? Answer the Rishonim, going back to the concept that we've mentioned many times, because the lomdus of the Yerusha of a husband is different than the lomdus of the Yerusha of a son. A husband, we've explained, is only she'eroi. It's not a blood relative. A son is a karev. And therefore, even though by a husband we're learning the halacha is that ein, that he does not yashin, ein anoytel b'roi k'v'mukhsik, a son will. But in discussing this halacha of a husband not getting beroy to be muksik, where we find this exact same concept in another place. We know, we just learned it this week, that a bechor gets a double share in the Yerusha that his father leaves. There too the halacha is, ein a bechor noitel beroy to be muksik. However, the Rishonim v'Achronim do point out that there are certain nafkaminas in halacha between the din by a son versus the din by a bechor versus the din by a husband. One nafkamin is as follows. If a father passes away and he leaves real estate, and the value of that real estate appreciates after his death, even though the bechor gets a double share in the Yerusha of his father, that's only in the value of the real estate at a moment of death. The appreciation of after death the son does not, the bechor does not get a double shirin. Whereas a husband who yashins the wife, if the wife dies and she left real estate, even if the real estate goes up in value after her death, the entire real estate goes to the husband. Another nafkamina that the Rishonim and Achronim want to mention that exists between a bechor and a husband is regarding halva, receivables. The din is that if a father passes away and the bechor gets pishnayim, but the father left accounts receivables, he left the halva, the son will not, the bechor will not get pishnayim in the receivables. What will be the din regarding a husband? Here, there's an interesting machloikis. Some Rishonim suggest that a husband also does not get the receivables, does not get, is not the yoirish of the receivables of his wife. Others say there's difference if it's a halva al-peh versus halva b'ksav. And halva b'ksav, he will be the yoirish and not halva al-peh. And yet there are other Rishonim that want to suggest that the husband, even though a bechor does not get pishnayim in halva, a husband does get a Yerusha in the halva that was owed to the wife. Another situation that the Rechroidim discuss is a situation that a father was a Shchimira and he said that my daughter should be get whatever he says, she gets a certain amount of money, and then it turns out that the daughter, Rachman al-Tzlan, dies before the father. The Beis Shmuel suggests that that will not be considered beroi, and the husband will get, will be the Yorish of that money. Because the moment that he was a Shchimira and said that this money should go to my daughter, Divrei Shchimira kiksuvim besurim dami, it's already considered like by the daughter, and therefore the halacha is that it's not considered beroi, and the husband would be the Yorish of those assets. So goes the, says the Gemara, Menayin Labal, Sheina Noitel Beroi Kvimuchsik. How do we know that the husband doesn't get those assets, only the assets that the wife actually had when she passed away, if she died before him? Shenemar, the Pasuk says, Psukim that we learned earlier, V'yili Es, and yesterday, Shir, V'yili Esrim, V'shloshim Eretz, V'skuv Hoylet is Yor, Skuv had a son Yor, V'hiloi, Esr v'shloishim orim be'eretz agilat. Menayin liyor shloi hoyle l'skuf. How did Yoyer, who was Skuf's son, have assets, fields, that his father didn't have? Says the Gemara, what happened probably was, Melamed, shenosav Skuf isha, Skuf married a wife, umesa b'chaya mirisheha, and she died before her father. And therefore, even though the husband is the Yorish of his wife, he's not the Yorish of those assets that only come to her after her death. And therefore, and then her father died. Her son, not a husband, yashin her. Ask the Mefarshim, the Ritva asks. We just learned in our previous shiur that the Gemara attempted to say that the Pasuk, that Pasuk is just teaching us the halacha, that Yoyer was a wealthy person, and he bought property. Why is the Gemara not say that again today? Says the Ritva, because the Gemara is focused on the words, Vayihi Loi. If it's referring to something that he bought, so Vayihi Loi means it became his. Bought means is Vakana. The Pasuk should have said he bought it. Voimer, and the Pasuk, and there's another Pasuk. Velozab at Aaron Mace, Vyikbaru. And as Mefarshim point out, isn't this Pasuk of Velozab at Aaron Mace a Pasuk in Yeshua? And that Pasuk of Yor and Skuf is a Pasuk in Shoiftim. Shouldn't the Gemara first have quoted the earlier Pasuk? Answered, so the Mefarshim asked, as we're going to soon learn, this is the Pasuk that ultimately we bring the Raya from, and that's the Gemara wants to use that Pasuk as the final Pasuk. That's the Derech of the Gemara. It brings a Raya, it refutes it, and then we bring the final Raya. So again, here it says that Elazar passed away and he was buried in the giver that belonged to Pinchas. Again, Menayin LePinchas Shloi Hayaloi LeElazar. How did Pinchas have a field that he didn't yashu from Elazar? Again, Melamed Shalasa Elazar Isha. Elazar married a wife. Umeis B'chayiru Mishael. She died before him. She also died before her father. And then Meis Marishael. And then her father died. For Yashu Pinchas. And Pinchas yashu that field from his mother, because his father was no longer the Yairish, because a father doesn't get a share in the Yerusha that comes later. Ask the Marmai Va'ayma, why do we need a second pasuk? Because Ruchi Tamer, if we would have only the first pasuk, we would say it was Yor that have a Nasav Itasa. The pasuk is not saying that Yor got this field from his mother who died before his father. Rather, Yor married a woman, Umeis, and she passed away. And Yorsa, and he inherited it directly from her. But we don't see the halacha that we're trying to learn, that the husband is not a Yorish in Roy like he is in Muxik. That's why the pasuk says, that's why the Gemara quotes a second pasuk, that Lazar ben Ar, Tamaloyim v'Lazar ben Arameis. So if the purpose of that pasuk were to teach us that a husband yashins a wife, that we already learned from the other pasuk. Why do I need two psukim to teach us the same din? It must be that the second pasuk is coming to teach us the halacha that a husband doesn't yashin beroy. V'chi teima, the nafle b'stei charamim. We could say, as we said in our previous year, how do we know that that pasuk is teaching us indeed this din? A din regarding Hilchos Yerusha. Maybe the pasuk is, maybe how Pinchas got that those fields were because he was a kohen, and as we explained in the previous year, he got it because the cheirim goes to the kohen. Amakra, the pasuk says, "V'yikvu aisoi begivas Pinchas benoi." Why is the pasuk indicating Pinchas benoi? We know that Pinchas was the son of Elazar. It's a pasuk in the Chumash. Nachla haruyloi. To teach us that it was a Yerusha that he potentially could have received if his wife would have had it when she died. But since his wife did not actually have this at the moment of her death, because she died before him and she only yashin this later, that's why the pasuk is saying, V'yarsha benoi, that's why his son yashin it. Because the halach of a husband yashining a wife does not apply there. We learned in the Mishnah of Bnei Achos. Tana, we learned in Bereisa, Bnei Achos, v'lo Bnei Achos. The sons of a sister, but not the daughters of a sister, are Yarshim. Ask the Gemara, L'may Halchasa. What does that mean? It can't mean, explain the Rishonim, that a sister's son's yashin, their uncle, but not a sister's daughters. Let's understand the case. Let's say someone, Rechman Slam, passed away, and this person did not have his own children. His father is no longer alive. He had no brothers either. And not only didn't he have brothers, but he didn't have brothers who had children. So his sisters are his yashin. Let's say his sisters aren't alive. But his sisters have daughters. Those nieces will be his yashim. So it can't mean, ask the Gemara, that nieces never yashin their uncle. Rather, what does it mean? Amar Rav Sheshis Lekadim. What it means is as follows, that if at the situation that we just described, that the person died, had no children, had no father, has no brother with children to the brother, but had a sister. But this sister has sons and daughters. The sons of the sister, the nephews, will be the Yarshim and not the nieces. L'kadim, that the sons of the sister precede the daughters of the sister. Tanur Shmuel Rav Yitzchak Kamei Rav Huna, the pasuk says, V'yarish. How do we know this halacha, because makish Yerusha Shniya L'Rusha Rishayna. My Yerusha Rishayna in the first generation ben Koidim Labas, af Yerusha Shniya ben Koidim Labas. The simplest way of explaining the Gemara is the halacha that we've learned many times, that a son comes before a daughter. So just like the halacha is that a son comes before a daughter, so too will be the halacha that a nephew comes before a niece. There are others that explain that it's not specifically that generation, but it's even in other cases of Yerusha. Just like brothers come before sisters, so too nephews come before nieces. Says the Gemara, Tanner Rabba Bar Chanina Kamei D'Rav Nachman V'hoye B'yoyim Achila Esbanov teaches us in the Torah, B'yoyim Atamapel Nachlois Yerusha divided by day, V'yatamapel Nachlois B'layla, not by night. And the Rishonim explain that the Gemara here, what the Gemara is teaching, what the Pasuk is teaching us, what the Gemara is teaching us, that it only happens by day, not by night, is not speaking about a regular situation where somebody, Rechman Shalom, passes away, and we want to follow the halachas that we've been learning how to divide up the Yerusha. For there's no reason that that should have to be done specifically by day, not by night. That's why the Rishonim say it's referring to a situation where somebody told, where somebody gave specific instructions how the Yerusha should, how his Yerusha should be divided, not necessarily following the laws that we've established, that the Torah and the Gemara we've been learning have established. So there we need to do a special division. That should be done by day, not by night. Others want to say that the Gemara is referring to Matana Shchimera, that we just said before, Matana Shchimera Kiksuvim Ukmesurim Dami, and the Gemara is teaching us that if it's being given out, if the Yerusha is being given out based on the instructions of a Shchimera, that should only be done by day, not by night. V'yoy matamapel nachlois, v'yatamapel nachlos b'layla. The Gemara assumes, would that mean the Shachar B'Yoyim Hudiyas L'Bnei? Only if somebody passes away during the day will his sons inherit him. Man the Shachar B'Layla L'Yas L'Bnei? If somebody dies by night, there is no Yerusha? So the Gemara, Dima Din Nachlus Kambit. What we mean is, as we explained, the division. The Tanya. V'Hoyz L'Bnei Yisrael Chukas Mishpat Oyra Kol HaPasha Kula Liyas Din. The Torah is teaching us that the din is that that dividing a Yerusha is considered similar to a din Torah. Damer Rav Yehuda, as Rav Yehuda taught us. Damer Rav Yehuda, Shlosh Shniknus Levakas Achayla. If three individuals came in to mevak to visit Achayla, so if they, as the Rishonim point out, if they were specifically appointed to be Edom, they have to be Edom. But if they just walked in and the sick person sees that his situation is serious and he wants to give his last will and testimony, so they could choose, since they weren't specifically appointed to be Edom, Ratzah Kaisrim, if they want, they could record what they want as Ratzah Isim Din, or they could be Dayonim. The Rishonim say Ratz Kaisim is Machlokes Rishonim. Some say that they could actually write a shtar that would be halachically valid, recording what they heard. Others say that they can't write a shtar if they weren't specifically instructed to write a shtar, because this shtar could be a shtar that is detrimental to others, the people who are not going to get a decent share. And therefore, the Ratzah Kaisrim means that they could act as Edom and make themselves notes to remember, but they can't actually write a shtar, which is detrimental to somebody else. Ratzah is for them. If they want, they could be Dayonim. However, Shnayim, if it was only two people, Kaisrim ve'enoisim din. They could only be Edom, they can't be Dayonim. So the Mefarshim asked the obvious question. Of course, we know that a Bezdin has to have three people. So why would we think that they could be anything else? So explain the Mefarshim. We would think that dividing up a Yerusha is not considered real than Torah. It's no different than the dissolvement of a partnership, where maybe you don't need to have a full-fledged then Torah. Teaches us the Gemara, no, that it's considered like a Din Torah, and you can't, and therefore two people can't be an adequate Beis Din. Vom Rav Chisda, and this Rav Chisda said, Loi Shanel B'yoyim. This could only be by day. By day, they can act as Dayonim. Why? Because the Din Torah is only valid, Dayonim can only be Dayonim by day, not by night. And as Tosfos says, the Gemara teaches us in Masechet Rosh Hashanah that if people saw the new moon, they could be the Dayonim. Why could they be the Dayonim? Shloitei Shmiya Gedolah Maria. What will we accomplish if other Edim will come and tell them what they saw? They saw it themselves. And therefore, since a Din Torah could take place by day, and they got involved by day, there's no reason that they can't be Dayonim. That's how Tosfos learns. The Ramban takes a different approach, because the Ramban says we can't bring a Raya from Kiddush HaChodesh to this case. Kiddush HaChodesh depends on seeing the moon, and therefore we certainly could apply the concept of Shloitei Shmiya Gedolah Maria. Here it has nothing to do with seeing. So therefore the Ramban says that the reason they could be Dayonim is because there's a concept of Doras Bal Din Kamei Edom Dami. So if they were the actual individuals who heard this person give instruction, the halacha is they certainly could be the Dayonim. Abba Laila, if they heard this directive at night, Afilu Shloisha Kaisvim, they could only act as Edom. However, they cannot be Dayonim. My Tama, because by night, since at night a Din Torah cannot take place, so therefore, by definition, they're only Edim. Havali Edim, they become Edim, and someone who's an Aid can't be a Dayan. Vein ayin Dayim, vein ayin esim Dayim. So now, Abaye asks Rabbi Chanina, when he said that it can't happen at night, what did he mean? Does it mean that if somebody dies at night, his Yerusha is not divided? Or does it mean that if somebody were Edim to his instructions at night, they can no longer be Dayonim? Because since they couldn't be Dayonim when they heard and witnessed what happened, because it was happening by night, and the Din Torah regarding Yerusha is considered Dayonis, and Dayonis is not by night, so therefore, in Hachadam Kamina, that's what I meant. That if they heard it by night, even if it was three individuals, they can no longer be Dayonim, because once they became Eid, Ein Eid Nasadayim. Why is the halacha then Ein Eid Nasadayim? The Rashbam says, because the Pasuk says, V'om du shnei anoshim shel lehem ariv lefnei Hashem. So the shnei anoshim are Dayonim, and they have to stand in front of Edim. So once you're an Eid, the job of an Eid is to stand in front of a Dayan. He can no longer be a Dayan. Tosfos gives a different explanation. We know that the Gemara says in many places that to be considered valid Eidus, because it has to be Eidus Shata Yochel Azima. No Dayan will accept about himself that he's an Eid Zoymim. So we'll remain in a situation of Eidus Shein Ochel Yochel Azimam, and therefore it can't have Ein Eid Nasadayim. There's a Machloikis Rishonim. What will be the halacha if the Eidim came and reported what they saw, what they heard, how the father wants the assets to, this person wants his assets to be divided, but the actual Din Torah will only take place by day? The Rashbam says that would be acceptable. Tosfos seems to disagree, and Tosfos says that the Kabbalah's Eidus has to be by day also. Also interesting, Machloikis, seems to be Machloikis Bavli and Yerushalmi, if a Din Torah was conducted by night, will it be, the Eved be acceptable? Another interesting Shaila, the Tzais discusses, is what will happen if they saw Eidus on Shabbos and Yontif, where we know that in Torah is not supposed to take place on Shabbos or Yontif. So will it be similar to the case that we just learned of an entire, something that they saw by night, that they can no longer be Dayanim? Furthermore, Tosfos says that this din that we said that aid can't be din, can't be a Dayan, is only referring to issues that are Daraisa. But something that's Midrabanon, he can be a Dayan. And Tosfos even goes on to say that this is halacha strictly regarding dinei mamonos. But regarding dinei nefashos, Tosfos wants to suggest that an eid can be a dayan. So I saw that the Mefarshim ask, if our Gemara is teaching us that ein eid nas a dayan, how will HaKadosh Baruch Hu able to judge us? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the eid. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows everything that we do, and he's also the Dayan. And now we're learning that ain't aid not the Dayan. So I saw two pshatim. The Medrash Shmuel explains that this din of ain't aid not the Dayan is only by din Torah in this world. Regarding din Torah in the Yeshiva Shemala, the din of ain't aid not the Dayan doesn't apply. But another teretz that I saw from the Yita Ponim is as follows. Why is the halacha that ain't aid nas a dayan? Because once somebody's an aid and he's saying testimony, he's going to paskin strictly like he felt the case was, and he won't be able to be impartial. He won't be able to look at the other side. But certainly when we're speaking about a Kodesh Baruch Hu, who always looks for the schus of Klal Yisrael, even if he is the aid and saw what he did, he will also certainly look for schus for us, and therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu could be the aid and also the dayan, because he always be melamed schus on our behalf.